Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for the sermon today is that first reading from Acts 16. Paul goes into the region of Macedonia. He goes to the city of Philippi, and he finds these women who are worshiping by a river, and he ends up speaking with this woman, Lydia, that we just talked about with the kids. Of course, Lydia hears what Paul has to say. She's baptized. Her whole life is changed. And so as we hear about this story of Lydia, it reminds us that this is what baptism has done for us too. It has given us a brand new identity of righteousness and holiness in Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you heard enough of this one yet? There we go. Right? Let's go Blues, right? No, yes, no, maybe. That awful song from the 80s has become the Blues theme song this season. Every time they happen to win a game, they play that song. And of course, I know that not everybody here is a sports fan or a hockey fan, but unless you've been living under a rock the last few weeks, you know that the Blues have made it to the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time in almost 50 years. And so we're hoping that we'll at least hear that song, Gloria, about four more times over the next week and a half or so. I'm going to take this hat off. But the Blues have been a lot of fun to watch this year. They're playing Game 1 tomorrow night against the Boston Bruins. And nobody thought they were going to make it this far. In fact, in January, they were literally the worst team in the entire National Hockey League. And they had this amazing run toward the end of the season. Now here we are, and they are competing for a Stanley Cup. Boston's got a pretty good team. It's going to be tough. But if the Blues are able to pull it off, it's going to really put a cherry on top of an already amazing and miraculous season. So, speaking of hockey and miracles, this whole Blues run has me thinking about the other original miracle on ice. Maybe some of you have heard the story before. There was a movie that Disney made about it a while back. The U.S. men's Olympic ice hockey team in 1980 versus the Soviet team, which was heavily favored to win the gold medal that year. I think since this is Memorial Day weekend, it is an appropriate time for us to remember this moment in sports history and, of course, in our nation's history, because this was not just a hockey game. This was not just a sports competition. In many ways, that matchup between the USA and the Soviets in 1980 was a symbol of America fighting for freedom. Fighting for the freedom all over this globe from the clutches of communism. Fighting for that same freedom that so many of the members of our military have fought for and have died for over the years. So those hockey players were playing for something much bigger than themselves. If you've ever seen the movie, that theme really comes out very well. And their coach was a man by the name of Herb Brooks, and he's played by Kurt Russell in the film. And anyway, he had this task of trying to unify this team, which turned out to be a very, very difficult thing to do because these players were all amateur players that came from all these different colleges. They had all these different allegiances and alliances. It was really hard to get them to gel as one team. To get them to play for the name on the front of their jersey, USA, rather than the individual last names that were printed on the backs of their jerseys. So when they put those hockey sweaters on, no matter where they had come from before, no matter what schools they played for, what colors their normal uniforms were, they had to get to the point where they realized that they now all played for the same colors, red, white, and blue. And that this was going to unify them, that they were all cut from that same American cloth. And of course, once they did finally get that, the results ended up being pretty miraculous, with the USA beating the Soviets a comeback victory that nobody really expected. Now, this whole sermon's not about hockey, I promise. But obviously, we as Christians are familiar with the miraculous, right? We understand miracles, and we serve a God who's definitely in the business of miracles. And so every single Sunday when we gather together as Christians in the church, we are remembering some of the most miraculous things in the entire world. The fact that Jesus has given to all of us something that is much bigger than a gold medal or a Stanley Cup, right? The fact that Jesus has actually earned for us the kind of freedom that even the members of this nation's military have not been able to secure for us. Because the freedom that we're talking about is freedom from eternal death, right? Jesus has provided for us the destruction of death and the promise of eternal life. And so if you're looking for a miracle, boy, you really don't have to look much further than the mercy and grace that God pours out upon you every single day just because he loves you that much. Every single time a person repents of their sin, every time someone believes the gospel, every time someone is baptized in the name of the Trinity, that is another miracle that we get to behold, and what a wonderful thing that is. We have this great example of this right here in this reading from Acts chapter 16. And in some ways, this is really a continuation of the same theme that we had last week, five chapters earlier in Acts 11. Some of you were here. We talked about Peter and this vision he had, seeing clean and unclean animals and food, and talking about the bringing of the gospel to the Gentiles, right? Well, today, we don't have Peter, we have Paul. And Paul is going to take this even further. He's going to branch this out. He's going to venture to go where literally no Christian has ever gone before. And I know that we might not be familiar with all these different names of all the places that are here in this text. Maybe off the top of your head, you can't figure out where Troas or Samothrace or Neapolis are on a map. But here's the thing that you really need to know. When Paul and his companions make this journey and they take this voyage to this region of Macedonia, when they end up in this city of Philippi, they are officially leaving the continent of Asia. Okay? So this is the first time that the gospel is leaving the ancient Near East behind and going into what we now call Europe. So now the gospel is literally going to a brand new continent. And here, in this passage, we get to witness the very first miracle in Europe. So Paul is in the city of Philippi, and he goes down to the river on the Sabbath day. And here he meets Lydia. And of course, verse 14 tells us that Lydia is a dealer, a seller of purple goods, right? And we assume that this means primarily that she sells purple clothing. Philippi would have been a great place for her to have this business because ancient Philippi had a lot of Roman soldiers who lived there. That city was kind of like the gateway to the east for the Roman Empire. So there are a lot of Roman soldiers there. They all need some sort of purple on their clothing, on their robes. And so for a woman like Lydia to be a seller of purple cloth, this would have been a great place for her to live. And of course, purple was a very, very difficult and expensive dye to obtain. So these kinds of things imply that Lydia was probably a pretty wealthy businesswoman. She dealt with the high-end stuff, right? You're not going to find Lydia's clothing at Target or something like that. You're going to find her at, you know, the fancy places. I don't know, Neiman Marcus. I don't go shopping. You guys know the fancy places, right? Some fancy shop in the mall. That's where you're going to find Lydia's stuff, with the designer clothing. This is what her life is all about. And then this one Sabbath day, she meets Paul. She meets him by the river. She hears what he has to say. She hears about Jesus. She hears about Easter and the resurrection. She hears the gospel, and she believes it. And her whole life is changed at this point. So she's baptized. The text tells us she was baptized along with her whole household. And immediately we see what is happening with the Holy Spirit coming upon her. We see how he is working to bear fruit within her. We see the good works that she begins to do in Jesus' name. She immediately shows some amazing hospitality here. She invites Paul and all his companions into her home to stay. I mean, these guys are basically strangers to her, and she invites them in. She doesn't care that they have a completely different background, a completely different social status. They come from a completely different continent. She doesn't care about any of that. She invites them right into her home because her identity is no longer wrapped up in who she was before. It's no longer wrapped up in being the fancy businesswoman selling the purple clothing. It's no longer wrapped up in her own personal individuality. She's not playing for the name that's on the back of her jersey, right? Now she recognizes that she is playing for what's on the front, that she wears the white robe of righteousness that she gets to share with Paul, with all of his companions, with all true believers in Jesus, including you and me, and all the saints before us. And the fact that we as Christians are all cut from the same holy cloth that has been given to us from the same Holy Spirit. We can learn a lot from Lydia on a day like today and in a world like ours. You know, exchanging your own personal individuality for the collective identity we have in baptismal grace, that takes a lot of sacrifice. Because what it means is we are called to love the Lord our God above all other things in this world, and it means that we are also called to put our neighbor's benefit above our own. And that's actually why this is a perfect theme for Memorial Day weekend, right? Because here we are, and we recognize that we would not be here if it wasn't for those who put our well-being above their own and died to protect the things that we have in this country. But it's also an appropriate theme for graduation day, right? We don't want to forget we have these five young men and women up here in the front pew. And all five of you came to this school as individuals, right? From individual families, individual backgrounds. You took individual paths to get to where you are right now. You have unique personalities, definitely some unique senses of humor, okay? I've witnessed that personally. You have different talents and abilities, all these different things. You're not the same, and it's a good thing, right? We wouldn't want everybody in the world to be the same. That would be pretty boring. But as you go on, as you receive your diploma, as you go on to bigger and better things in high school, it's important to remember that even though you're not all the same, you are all cut from the same cloth. You are baptized and confirmed Lutheran Christians, right? You are followers of Jesus, first and foremost. And the truth is, as you go into high school and beyond, there are going to be times when that Christian identity gets challenged. Yes, that's true. Even if you continue on in Lutheran education at Christ Our Rock, you are going to have your Christian identity challenged. That's just part of what it means to grow up. And as that happens, of course, my encouragement here for you is that you wouldn't be tempted to ignore the things that you've learned here at Trinity about God's will for your life, but that you would remember on those difficult days that we are all here for you, we're praying for you, we're supporting you, but even more importantly, Jesus is always with you. And Jesus sends you his helper. He sends you the Holy Spirit to watch over you, to lead you, and to guide you every single step of the way. He is faithful to you, and he always will be. Because we're on God's team. We're all on Jesus' team, and we understand what that means, right? We understand that none of us as individuals end up truly getting rewarded for the things that we personally do. I mean, not in any way that truly matters anyway. I mean, we spend all of our time trying to live through the game of life and try to play that game in a way that's kind of selfish, maybe dishonest at times just so that we can get ahead, just so that we can have others look at our glory. We might succeed at getting other people to be impressed with the things we can earn in this world. You know, the house that you live in, the car that you drive, that shiny new tractor out in the field, the expensive purple goods you buy at the mall, whatever those happen to be, right? We might be successful in those things, but in the end, just like Lydia found out, those things are not our true identity. And they do not end up mattering all that much in the end. Our greatest identity is the one that comes in the clothing God has placed upon us in baptism. The clothing that actually makes us worthy of eternal life. The clothing that will hide our sin and our selfishness and lead us to a prize that is much greater than a diploma and much greater than even an Olympic gold medal or a Stanley Cup. A prize of God's heavenly kingdom, life in heaven with him forever. Talk about a miracle. Talk about playing Gloria, right? We're going to be singing Gloria to God in the highest with the angels and the archangels and all the saints who have gone before us together as Christians cut from the same glorious and miraculous cloth. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.